because our job here on the planet is to perpetuate love. And one way that we do that is by having children.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood podcast. On the line, I'm very happy to have John Brinkus. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, John. How you doing, sir?
I am awesome. Thanks so much for having me on. And thanks so much for doing this podcast. It's a great positive energy, you know, put out into the universe.
I really appreciate that, sir. And speaking of positive energy, man, I'm a big sports nut. And, you know, watching ESPN, I would see you on Sports Science. I just love that because you broke down sports and science in such a cool way. We're going to talk about that in a second. We're also going to be talking about Killcliff. We're going to be talking about your podcast, Brink of Midnight, as well. But, of course, the main reason why I like to bring guys like you on here is talk about your journey into fatherhood. So talk to me when you found out you were going to be a dad. What was going through your mind, sir?
Well, like everyone else, I was terrified at the moment. You know, I actually was, you know, I don't know if I was late to the game. You know, I got married when I was 31 and, you know, had my first child when I was 34. So, you know, what's interesting is I was scared going into it. Honestly, I was like, oh my God, this is like a terrifying proposition. An event happened. I actually was in my car on Main Street in Venice. In Venice, California. And I was in a little two-seater convertible, and I looked up in my rearview mirror, and there was an SUV, some guy on a cell phone, and I could tell, oh my God, he's going to plow right into the back of the car, and I'm going to die. And the thought that went through my mind was, I haven't had a child yet, and this is really going to suck to die like this and not have anyone carry on the family legacy. And so I got in this accident. He swerved out of the way. Car was totaled. Thank God I walked away fine. And my wife was out of town at the moment. And I called her. I said, we have to have kids right now because I'm going to step off the sidewalk and get hit by a bus. And then that's going to be that. And this is good. We got to like perpetuate love because our job here on the planet is to perpetuate love. And one way that we do that is by having children. And when you have children, you can raise them and nurture them and have them carry on the tradition of loving everyone. When we had our first son, you know, I was exhilarated once it happened. Once it was like the light bulb kind of had to flip over in my brain of like, oh my God, that is your job, is to have children in order to perpetuate love. So I went from being terrified initially to being exhilarated.
John, I love that. It's one of the best answers right there. And just in regard, not the accident part, but just the idea of it's part of your job and the idea of carrying on your legacy and just creating new life in this world is fantastic. And I think this kind of blends into my next question is talk about some of the core values you're looking to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
You know, I think the most important value is to love everyone. That idea and that ideal, it's one that's really hard when you're put to the test. You know, can you actually love everyone? That core value, you know, I was when I say I was raised in a very loving household, you know, we were in a household that when I kind of say we always took the strays in off the street. You know, there were only four Brinkuses. I only have one sister. So I had my mother, father, and my sister. And we literally would have more non-Brinkuses living in our house than Brinkuses, because it was whether or not it was my roommate or, you know, a friend in need or a relative or whatever. We just had like this open door house. So, you know, the main value is, listen, help people, love people. That is our job. That's a core value. And by, you know, that happens when you understand you need to do your best. That doesn't mean that you win every competition that you're in. That doesn't mean you get an A on every test. But what it does mean is you're trying. You actually are putting forth the effort to do your best. And when you do that, and those two principles collide, I think you create a sense of positive energy that people find attractive and that people want to emulate.
100% agree. And I love the fact that you're leading by example for your kids. You know, you can talk the talk, but if you're not walking that walk, they'll just be like, well, he's not doing what he's not practicing what he's preaching, right? So I love that, sir. And from the realization where you wanted to have kids and the values, talk about something you have learned about yourself or about life in general through your kids. Because we, of course, want to be the parents and the teachers of life. We want to pass on our experience in life and all that. But what is something that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life?
So there was a moment very early on when we had our son. He was crying in the middle of the night. I was super stressed out with work. You know, I go down the hall because it's my turn to, you know, comfort our child. And it's late. I'm stressed. And I go over to his crib. I pick him up, put him in my arms, you know, sit down on the rocking chair. And I say to him, trying to get him to, you know, stop crying, I say, it's all going to be okay. And I'm telling you, at that moment, I felt God's love pouring down on me, holding me in that rocking chair, telling me, it's all going to be okay. Don't be so stressed out. I've got you.
Yeah.
And without having a child and having that moment, I'm not sure I would have realized, you know what? It is all going to be okay as long as I'm following my core values. Now, you can always go off the rails and you can choose, you can make bad decisions and wind up in a place where you never thought you would wind up. But if you're living your core values, listen, it's going to be all right. And you always have that opportunity to realize, man, if I do my best and if I try and if I love everyone else, it's all going to be all right.
That is such a touching moment. And I thank you for sharing that because I know parents listening to this right now would really appreciate that story. And just that moment where you're just having that great bonding moment with your son. I really appreciate you sharing that. And one more question before we get into some of the other good stuff is, what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening to this?
Realize that it is life-changing. Like that's a good thing. A lot of people going into being a parent, they're like, oh, I can't go out and party every night and hang out with my buddy. I'm like, you're right. You can't do that. But that's because it is life changing and that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. So it's a new chapter. That idea, a lot of people, what I hear, especially for whatever reason, it feels like people are older and older now becoming parents. But I'm like, listen, it's a fantastic change and it's a new chapter in your life. You know, embrace it.
No doubt, man. 100% agree with you. And of course, I mentioned earlier, ESPN Sports Science. It was such an awesome show. While I was prepping up for this interview with you, I was just taking, you know, back at, you know, the different videos and all that. I got to say, man, you took it a lot for the team with the different athletes beating you up, man. So talk first about like how that show came to be, that segment on ESPN came to be, and just your fun memories from that time.
Well, you know, the way that I became the host of Sports Science is, you know, my production company had a sports division and a science division. And then we married those two things up, first in a show called XMA, Extreme Martial Arts, that was on Discovery, and then a show called Fight Science that was on National Geographic. And then those shows were so successful, Sports Science was born. And when I was pitching Sports Science, it was to Fox Sports, and the GM at the time was saying, hey, this is a great idea, and we know that people, you know, love the way that you're doing this. Who are you going to get to host this? And I said, listen, we own the property. You're licensing it from us. Whoever you want to get to host it, I'm fine with it, you know, like whatever. And he's like, well, why don't you do it? You're extraordinarily average. You could be a good counterpoint to all these great athletes. So I'm like, I'm going to take that as a compliment. You know, I'm all 5'8", you know, 160-ish, sure. So I became the human crash test dummy to show, you know, the contrast, really, because what I said to him was, if I suck at this, I'm happy to fire myself because I own the company and the show and everything. I was like, whatever. I never planned on being the host. But then once I became the host, it really ended up working because I am average. I am, as we refer to in the show, extraordinarily average. And so all of the sort of punishment that I was taking, whether it was with Vernon Davis or, you know, Ndamukong Suh or Dwight Freeney or whomever, you look at it and you're like, oh my God, these athletes are really special. And there's a reason too why I don't do that anymore because I am a broken man. I am a broken man. I'm actually walking around in a 90-year-old body now.
Well, let me just say, as someone, like I said, who enjoyed that series, I appreciate all the bumps and bruises you took. But like for you, like you said, like, you know, you guys, you own the company and all that. And for the show, like, how'd you come up with like the different topics you wanted to showcase? And what was the selection process for those athletes that you wanted to feature in that series?
Yeah, really, it became quite organic. When we sat around on, you know, season one, it was trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to do, you know, 13 episodes of this thing? And it was a struggle for us to think, all right, here's an athlete we want to get in, an experiment, how we're going to do it. And then after that, I mean, literally after season one, we're like, man, how many of these things can we come up with? And how many different segments could we possibly do? And we did season two. Then after season two, ESPN came along and said, hey, we want that. 1800 episodes later, what you learn is, man, you know, you, once you do something and out of repetition, you kind of figure out, you know, how to be creative and how, why something is interesting. And each segment that we did, all the content, I still do tons of content. Everything that I do, I want to be learning something. I want to have an aha moment. I want to make sure that if I'm entertained, I'm pretty sure the audience is going to be entertained. So I put myself in that position. But, you know, it's interesting how it's kind of like songwriting. You know, you sit back and, you know, I'd love to play guitar and love to write songs. And you say, hey, can I write a song? I mean, if you write one song, you write 1,000 songs. You just have to do it and keep stretching and figuring out different ways to piece something together. So it was really, it became quite organic because remember in season one and two on Fox, we had Larry Fitzgerald and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger and Ray Lewis and, you know, giant, the biggest of the big names that came in. And once you create something, positive energy begets positive energy, and you get the right athletes to come in. Really, it's about the right athletes. You know, we never paid anybody to be on the show. And that was a massive departure to, you know, industry practice. Yeah. I said, listen, greatness doesn't need to be paid. I'm like, they're already great. And if they want to, you know, they want to show up and show the world what the, you know, this is why they're special. If they want to learn something, there is a real exchange. There's a real exchange in being involved with something like that. So, you know, everybody who came on the show came on for free. And then that really kind of shows you what, you know, these incredible athletes. Most people think, oh, they've got this giant entourage and they're, you know, difficult to deal with, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, they're not. They're human beings like everyone else. They want to learn. They want to, you know, they want to learn. They want to stretch rather than asking for just an interview, that's something that's kind of time consuming and, you know, doesn't necessarily have the energy exchange and proposition. I'm like, listen, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come in the world's greatest lab to put yourself to the test. Let's see what you're made of. Let's show off why you're so amazing. Let's try to learn something. That's a great proposition.
Yeah, no doubt. And also too, is, you know, in that, the high echelon of, in a, you know, the pro sports, like if you can go on this show and learn some knowledge about yourself, why not take that, you know, to the next level, right? Like, oh, I do this. Well, maybe like talking to you, it's like, well, maybe if I step to the left instead of the right, my accuracy will be a little bit better or whatever the case may be, right? So it definitely, I think, is a win-win situation for that. And speaking of positive energy, how about, let's talk about some clean energy. I love the fact that you are now working with Kill Cliff. It's a clean energy drink. Talk about how that came to be, sir.
I have been exposed to one of everything, especially in the human performance space. Everybody sent me one of their gizmos or one of their products. And very rarely do I come across a product that I'm like, wow, this is something special. So I'm someone, I don't drink alcohol. I try to live as pure life as possible. Mm. So I'm a big fan of drinking water, and along comes this drink, Kill Cliff. And I'm like, what is this all about? It's a clean energy drink. And I'm like, well, what do they mean by that? Well, it has no sugar, nothing fake, nothing artificial, loaded with B vitamins and electrolytes and clean green tea caffeine. I'm like, wow, this is actually solving a problem that's in the market. Traditional energy drinks are, for lack of a better word, toxic. The amount of sugar and synthetic caffeine is dangerous. and it is causing problems. Killcliff, that was founded by a Navy SEAL, run by a Navy SEAL, is solving that problem. It's the world's first and best clean energy drink. So it was a company I could really get behind. And then when I met the leadership and the people that were involved, they originally wanted me to just be involved to make some content pieces and to help message. I was so impressed with the company. I said, I want to be a part of this ride. I want to be a part of this journey because I believe in this product so much. So I became the CMO of Killcliff. And really, when I say I'm quite honored to be involved with a company that's putting forth something that is genuinely healthy, that is solving a problem that does exist currently. So I absolutely recommend to everybody, if you are concerned, which I think everybody should be more than ever, as to what you're putting in your body,
yeah,
I would say take a real stock, you know, especially in, you know, hot drinks with lots of sugar, lots of synthetic caffeine. Check out Killcliff, KILLCLIFF.com. I really think that it's something that not only is it an amazing tasting beverage, it doesn't taste like one, you know, something. It doesn't taste like medicine. It tastes awesome, and it's good for you.
Nice. All, you know, again, another win-win situation right there. I love that. And the fact that, you know, especially parents listen to this, and if they are taking energy drinks, why not put an energy drink that's good for them and it'll help them stay active and keep up with their kids, right? So it's very cool. So I think parents listening to this should definitely check out that. And we'll put up links over at killcliff.com. And lastly, before we get into the Fatherhood Quick Five, your podcast, Brink of Midnight, again, you're just doing everything and anything. And I love it. I love the fact that, you know, you're just exploring things. And I think that's another great life lesson you're teaching your kids, where you're looking to just explore different parts of just life and what you can get into. Talk a little bit about this podcast and what people can expect from the show if they haven't checked it out already.
Yeah. So I did 100 episodes of a podcast called Brink of Midnight. And my wife and I met in a way that I refer to as a moment when everything changed. So we have this expression. My wife and I came up with the name Brink of Midnight, that it's right when something's going to change. It's the end of something, the beginning of something else. Mm. And these moments happen in everyone's life. For me, it was the moment when I sat down on a plane next to my wife. I was traveling with somebody else, but we had a ticket mix up. So I sat next to my wife, fell instantly in love. We had a mechanical problem on the plane, so we had to get off the plane, spend 5 hours in the airport. And the second that I saw her and met her, I actually went up to the person I was traveling with, and I said, I'll give you $100 to stay away from me because I just met the girl I'm going to marry. She called her parents and said, I just met the guy I'm going to marry. And when we were flying back to LA, when we landed and I said, what are the chances I can get your information? She said, pretty good. Turns out we lived two blocks away from each other on the same street. Now, if that's not God throwing you a softball saying, hey, you're going to get married to this, you know, to this incredible woman. That one moment, from that point on, everything in life changed. That was actually before sports science. So everything changed at that singular moment. So what I wanted to do is to find out, well, what is everybody else's brink of midnight moment? So there's just some incredible guests that not only from sports science, but all different walks of life. Here are the moments when everything absolutely changed in my life. And everyone has that story. And although people say, well, there are multiple points, there's usually that one fulcrum that you can say life happened before this and then after this.
Yes, spot on. And I think maybe some of those, you know, brink of midnight moments are when a dad has a kid, right? So I love that. And people
totally.
Actually check that out. And now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie you guys like to watch together right now? Because I know it changes. I got two daughters and it'll change from time to time. But for right now, is there a movie you guys like watching together?
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Next.
Nice.
Uncle Eddie is part of the Brinkus family.
Love it. And I know it doesn't have to be a favorite song, but is there a favorite family song right now you guys like to sing and dance to? Or it doesn't have to be that. You can answer this other one. Is there a band that you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age to appreciate it?
The ultimate lullaby is Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine. Mm. I highly recommend hold your child and whisper, sing softly the lyrics to Sweet Child of Mine. The lyrics are incredible, and it is the ultimate lullaby.
Love it. Nice. Another great song for parents is Patience, right? By Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, totally.
Again, I know 2020, not that many people are traveling, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Actually, at the end of 2019, we went to Thailand and had an absolute blast. We went all over, you know, we literally had like the ultimate family vacation. So I highly encourage, you know, when everything's opened up, you know, go check out Thailand. We had a total blast there.
I love it. Again, because sports science and all that, it might be tough to answer this one, but favorite sport, do you have one?
You know, I really, it's not a cop-out answer. I appreciate all sports.
Okay.
I'm from D.C., so I grew up outside of the D.C. area, so I'm still a total homer for, you know, everything and anything Washington sport.
Nice. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
Honest, loving, and awesome.
Awesome. Great three words right there.
People,
make sure you follow John on Twitter, John Brankus. And then there's like an underscore after Brankus. And then also go to his website, johnbrankus.com, to learn more about John. And I'm guessing that there's going to be links for people to check out Killcliff there as well, correct?
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you very much. And I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Awesome. I really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.